The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every born male shall be designated as holy to the Lord." And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the customary under the law, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelations to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. Then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When Mary and Joseph had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Please be seated. Grace and mercy and peace unto you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a long wait. But what a joy for Simeon and Anna to finally meet the Messiah. Their waiting have paid off. But we as a people, naturally, we are not good at waiting, are we? Especially when we have these extended periods of darkness. But today, we learn that we wait with expectant hope, like a mother who waits for 9 months for a baby to be born. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, that he was waiting for the restoration of Israel for the pain they suffered while in exile. The Holy Spirit was with him. The promise was that he would see the Messiah, the Anointed One, before he dies. And today, we see the hymn which he sings in exaltation and in hope and joy as a song of triumphant and fulfillment of what he waited for his entire life. He didn't quit. And that reminds me of the church during the COVID pandemic. We didn't give up. We learned that the church is beyond and is more than the building. This morning, Jesus is presented in the temple. But there are some of the things. Luke is a very good storyteller. We see the intersection of the young and the old, a young family and the two bent over figures, Simeon and Anna. And it's not just mentioning these figures in this story. It fits in the narrative of Luke. Luke, right at the beginning, shows us those things or people that are despised in the community, in the setup of the sun, they are critically important. And that's why we see the young that are insignificant according to these customs of the people at that time, but also the old, who were also considered as insignificant, they are old. But there's something that is very critical today. The young family, Joseph and Mary, they are coming to present Jesus in the temple. But according to the custom is that they would give something, a gift. Of course, when you are rich, you give the lamb, the cow or whatever. But here we see Joseph and Mary. Again, it fits in that narrative that Joseph and Mary were of a poor background. The poor were also supposed to give something. And they would give a turtle dove, something small, something insignificant again. It fits right there, the narrative of Luke. These small things, they matter alone. Again, we will see this small insignificant as we go on and on with Luke, with the mustard seed and all that. Those insignificant, the poor and all that. This again fits in this narrative. But let's see something critical in this. They gave the turtle dove, but Mary and Joseph gave the lamb with a T and a capital letter L. Jesus Christ is the lamb that we see in this text. But the good thing in this text again is the praise of the two bent over figures. The praise, the hymn that we see in this text. Anna and Simeon praised God. Praised God. Praise for our God whose power is known and experienced in the vulnerability of the human. In Jesus, the young, whose love is felt in pain and loss, and whose hope knows no limits. We give praise in the face of perverse power. We give praise so as to offer resistance to that which or those who would seek to instill fear instead of trust. We give praise to shout out an alternate perspective or reality or a worldview that chooses love and inclusion and compassion over hatred and exclusion and heartlessness. We give praise to affirm our belief that the world can be different, has to be different, and that the difference is known in bringing about the kingdom of God, is here and now. So into this season of the year, come to bent over Anna and Simeon. And Simeon sings of letting go, of departing, of dying. Now I can go, for my eyes have seen the salvation, the soterion And when you read the King James, it gives us salvation, not they've sinned for their salvation, but it says, my eyes have seen the soterion, the salvation. And in this case, salvation is personified. Jesus is the salvation. And in Hebrew, Yeshua, the Messiah. So we are told that they were old. But again, Luke does not tell us exactly that Simeon was old. But again, when we read and he's waiting, we assume that also Simeon was of the old age. They were waiting for a long time for the fulfillment of the promise. And maybe, they were beginning to doubt. I mean, it's natural that when you wait for long and wait, sometimes there's despair, right? They waited. But my brothers and sisters, this morning I want to say to you that joy comes in the midst of despair, of hopelessness, physical pain, perhaps a deep, disquieting grief that one's life never lived up to the expectations. Because in the infant Jesus, he has seen a sign and a token that the Lord has kept the promise made to the Israelites of old. And trusting God's promises, he is able to accept his own death with courage. But again, there's something in this text that struck me about waiting in anticipation and hope. God's promise is to be with you in the process. And this is what we fail as a people. We look forward for the promise, but we don't want to wait. But today, the promise is in the process. The promise is in the waiting. The promise of Simeon was in his waiting for a long, long time. You know, there are things that you cannot learn about God until you are in the process. Until you are in, sometimes even other things that we meet in life teaches us to meet God in the process. There is a revelation of glory of God that comes in frustration, sometimes in despair, in doubt, and in disruption of life. Something occurs to me that patiently waiting for God to fulfill his promises is something we don't tend to be very good at as a people. We don't want to wait. But Luke seems to suggest that there were mornings and mornings of Simeon. He would wake up and that promise has not been fulfilled. And by the way, Simeon might have seen the time when the Jews were massacred in Jerusalem during the time of Governor Pompeo. And you can imagine the frustration around that time. Where is the Messiah when people are crucified? That was the question. So there was this thirst. But also we see Anna, she got up morning after morning and she didn't see the hope of Israel. And I'm sure they were starting to say, to doubt the prophets, like, no. Where is the Messiah when we are facing all this? And we too, we do that. When we get into this serious, difficult things, we ask this question, where is God? God has absconded me, where is he? We tend to ask this, and those questions are critical, by the way, because they evoke the faith in us. It's very important. So decade after decade after decade, and we are told that Anna was 84 years. 84 years of waiting, and the Messiah is not coming. She was widowed, And the decades went by without seeing the redemption of Israel. And as I said earlier, it's hard for us to wait. And I know it's hard for me to wait. It's so hard to see some of the promises that I know God has given or has promised. That's what we are called, my dear friends. We are just called to wait. To wait and to wait for God's time. And God's time is always perfect. God's time is so great. It brings the good news. And now today, Simeon was presented Jesus, and now he's holding Jesus in his hands. And when he was holding this baby, he said, now I can go. Now I can go. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now I can go. And I know we feel the same. When we have been waiting for a long, long time, we want this, we want this, or we want the promotion. Now things are not working. But when you finally get it, oh my God, now is the time. I got it, and I got it. And it's also accompanied with praise, and sometimes with champagne and public champagne and dance and all that, because now is the time. Any experience of great joy, as expressed by Simeon and Anna, must be preceded by long periods of doubt, anxiety, questions, and darkness. And by the way, let me say this about doubt a little bit. Doubt is influenced by our experience and by the way we feel about life. And doubt is always the prelude of faith. Doubt is the backside of faith. In other words, faith is the front side of doubt. The two are linked together as Siamese twins. Anyone as joyous as Simeon and Anna over the vindication of the faith must have had a season of doubt. And some people would say doubt is like the porch, the front porch of the house. We must go through it before we get into the house. So Simeon and Anna appear as devout Jews who were waiting for the fulfillment of God's promises of consolation and redemption of Israel. Thus they become spokesmen and spokeswomen for the salvation and the redemption that is to come through Jesus. And this is a testament that God is speaking. God is speaking and God is with us. And God is still responding to the human needs and human cries and the groans of this world. For Simeon, those eyes on that boy Jesus were consolation of Israel. And for Anna, Jesus is the redemption of Israel, a site for consolation, for centuries of captivity, of exile and silent tears. A time of injustice, a time of persecution. Certain eyes know what God is doing in the midst of what the world is doing. And certain eyes have a certainty of God's promise. And certain eyes know that whatever God has promised, God will deliver. God will deliver. Christ is with us. It takes faith to know a blessing when you see a blessing from God. It is a joy of celebrating of God's goodness in the midst of life's greatness. It is a very incredible thing that we see Simeon and Anna. See, respective years did not hinder their faith in the things of God. They continued to look for God's promise. In other words, our problems of the past can inhibit our seeing the possibility of the present. But not for Anna and Simeon. And this text tells us that seeing is possible in the midst of darkness. You know, it's not the way that we do in most cases. When the darkness falls on us, it's gloomy, it's darkness, and we don't see any further than the darkness. Disappointments can be disappointing, but discoveries can cause us to see afresh that God is still speaking to us today. Sometimes it calls us to listen very quietly, intently, so that we can hear God speaking in our hearts. My dear friends, this morning I want to invite you to ponder on this text. But let me say in conclusion, in the darkness of so many difficult days, these words of comfort and joy ease our hearts and my heart. In the midst of long darkness, when our cities are hunted and haunted with ice, when our towns are burnt off, when the wars in Ukraine, in Gaza, all this, we are told to wait for God, the bearer of peace, the promised one that Israel has been waiting, that will lead people out of oppression, injustice has come, my dear friends. Jesus' redemption will be comprehensive. His birth and his coming is not just good news for Israel alone, but good news for the nations. And Jesus is not bringing deliverance for Israel, he is bringing deliverance to the world. So in other words, we can say this good news is not localized in Israel, but is universal for us all. May God bless us. Amen.